The text for this morning is taken from Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. And let me read for you verse 32 to verse 43. Luke 23, verse 32 to 43. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding him. The rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Greetings to you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I do bring greetings to you on behalf of Faith Presbyterian Church in Perth. And I give thanks to God today for those who have been with us down there as well, a number of them here today. And we just give thanks to God. It is indeed a pleasure to be back here with you on this occasion, and as the FEBC graduation is tonight, another blessing. May the Lord continue to strengthen you. And as Dr. Jeffrey did mention, today's message is titled, It's Never Too Late. For some things, it may be too late. For other things, it is not. And if you are a predestined child of God, it's not too late. But it's good for us to reflect upon the scriptures and understand the things that we are culpable for, the things that we are responsible for in the sight of God. And so although the title is Never Give Up, it's never too late, I'd like to also mention Never Give Up, Continue to Pray. Well, Dr. Jeffrey did read the scriptures that we're looking at this morning. And I'd just like to refer to another few scriptures as well. But before I do, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, our loving and heavenly Father, we give thanks again for thy goodness to us. And we do confess our sin before thee, knowing that thou art a God who is able and just to forgive. And Lord, we do confess our known sin, any unknown sin where we may have inadvertently offended somebody, or any deep-seated sin that we may be involved with, that nobody else knows of. Lord, I pray that we'd be able to forsake these, repent, confess, forsake and move on from them, not returning as a dog would to its vomit. We give thanks, Lord, for True Life BP, and we give thanks for the Chinese congregation starting up last week, and pray that this be a really blessed time for the folk there. And again, we give thanks for FEBC, the FEBC graduation tonight, and for the studies of the past week. And we do pray as we do go up to Mersing tomorrow that it be a fruitful time. Lord, may thou be gracious unto each of the folk here. And we pray especially for those who may be with us today who are outside of thy kingdom, that today may be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Word of God mentions in Luke about two malefactors, two robbers, two thieves, that were being crucified with Jesus Christ. And as he was as he had to carry his cruel cross for a distance, and then Simon took over from from Jesus Christ. There were a large number of people who were gathered, and there's just two points that I would like to look at today. The first point is the mocking, the betrayal of the Savior. So the mocking of the Savior. There were many people who mocked. There were some who wept, and the women who did weep wept for the wrong reasons. They wept because of the suffering that Jesus Christ was going through, when they ought to have wept of the sufferings that were going to come, the judgments that were going to come in a future period of time. There was Judas Iscariot, who had mocked Jesus Christ, who had betrayed Jesus Christ, even for 30 shekels of silver. And in the end, his conscience got the better of him, and he took that 30 shekels back, and he threw it down to the priests. Well, they had achieved what they wanted. They just wanted somebody to betray Jesus Christ. And the priests then decided what to do. And they decided that they would purchase a field, and the purchase that they did field for the purchase for the burials of foreigners is also called the field of blood, because blood money was used. When we look at the people who were mocking, to start off with, there were the people who were standing there, the people who were pleasing themselves with the spectacle of Jesus Christ hanging on the cruel cross. Then there were the rulers. These were the leaders who ought to have known better, who ought to have had a more sense of honor than what they did. These were the leaders. These were the rulers. And then there were the soldiers who did mock as well. And they did cast lots for the meager garments that he did have. And this was a payment for them, so they cast the lots for the little clothing that he did have. So we have the people, we have the rulers, we have the soldiers. And then, I'd like to read to you from Matthew and Mark, where initially the two robbers, the two thieves, one who were either side, did mock him as well. And the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 44, "The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth." In other words, we see in the Gospel of Matthew that there were two, that both of them reviled against Jesus Christ. Both of them mocked Jesus Christ, the one on the right and the one on the left, according to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Mark says, "And they that were crucified with him reviled him." So we see in Matthew and in Mark, they both revile. But what we see in the book of Luke is still correct. It's just that a little later, one of them is transformed by the transforming power of God unto salvation. Well, Jesus Christ was maligned with these malefactors. He was numbered with their transgressions, with the transgressors in the midst, right in the center of these two thieves. They could both see the inscription that was written above: "Jesus, the King of the Jews." This is the King of the Jews, was inscribed above. So they could both see. This was the people mocking, and not just mocking Jesus, but this was a mock by the Romans against the Jews as well. In other words, this is your king. And so there was the mocking. Well, I'd just like to mention a few things about unbelief. And for those in our midst who may continue to have an unbelieving heart, I'd just like to mention to you what the Word of God says about the unbelieving heart. And folks, let us be a people who continue to reach out whilst we have the opportunities. For the Word of God mentions that unbelief proceeds from an evil heart. Unbelief proceeds from the slowness of heart. Unbelief proceeds from a hardness of heart. it is to do with a disinclination toward the truth of God's word. And sometimes there is the judicial blindness as well, and that proceeds from unbelief. We know that those who do not believe are not the sheep of the shepherd. And we know that unbelief also proceeds from seeking honor from men and not seeking honor from God. Unbelief is exhibited in a number of ways. Firstly, by rejecting Jesus Christ. And here to start off with, these two thieves are rejecting Jesus Christ. Unbelief also is exhibited in rejecting the word, rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ, rejecting an evidence of the miracles of Jesus Christ, which were to authenticate his ministry, and is also exhibited in questioning the power of God. Now, when it comes to those who are guilty of unbelief, and please remember, the two were guilty to start off with of unbelief. Those who are guilty of unbelief cannot please God. They often malign the gospel. They persecute the ministers of God. And you folks have seen the persecution of the ministers of God. And this comes from those who are guilty of unbelief. And I would just like to mention this to you at this point. And how I praise God for the pastoral leader that you do have in the church, and for the for his faithfulness, and for the courage that he has to critique those people who tear away at God's word. And by the grace of God, we just had a week's course of the harmony of the Gospels. And if you have seen his thesis for his PhD, it's about so thick. And it is just amazing. And if you have sat under the teaching, it is an incredible teaching. If you have sat under the teaching of this man throughout the years of the Bible College, you'll have learnt much. And whilst I was attending Bible College, there was one student who did say, "Brother, don't do the courses of this person, that person, another person, because they're too hard. Do the easy ones and keep your GPA up." And my point was, I'm here to learn theology, as hard as that may be. Yet those people, that person who did that, is hardly even in ministry today. And neither are those who were the easy subjects, faithful men in these days. But for those of you who have had circulated on your internet the questioning of the doctorate of your pastoral leader, saying that it is from an uncredited Bible college. Folks, I challenge you to understand whether the man has the credentials or not. And one of those circulating on internet says that it is a time bomb, that to have a doctorate from such and such Bible college is a time bomb waiting to go off if you've got it on your CV. Folks, that's not the time bomb. But what you see here is the Word of God mentioning of the attacking, of the persecuting of ministers of God. What was it that Reverend Dr. Timothy told you wrong, other than stand for the truth? But he got attacked. I tell you, folks, that is not the time bomb that's going to go off. But I tell you what is the time bomb that's going to go off, seeing as we are talking about the unbelief. The time bombs that will go off are those where the pastors are involved in adultery, have been involved in adultery. They're the time bombs, folks. I have the privilege of being the editor of the Faith and Freedom magazine. And in there are lots of articles of lots of time bombs that are going to go off. These people who are having affairs and remarrying and doing all these types of things. Then just a few years ago, there was the article in America of a leader who was shot dead at the entrance of the church because he performed abortions. Folks, Don't take up arms against anybody that you believe is involved in sin. It is not the way to go. Vengeance belongeth unto me, saith the Lord. There are those involved in all sorts of things that are time bombs going off. How we give thanks to God for his goodness and for those who still have the courage today to point out the error of those people who are attacking God's word. And that's all the attacks upon your beloved pastor or leader are about. You see, these people get personal. But please understand, those who are guilty of unbelief will do this type of thing. They will excite others against the saints, and they will continue to persevere in doing that type of thing. Well, the Word of God mentions that these people are condemned already, that God's wrath is abiding upon them, that these people should die in their sins, that they should not enter into rest, that they are condemned, that they shall be destroyed. And finally, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 mentions they will be cast into the lake of fire. I pray that we may understand that initially there were two men who continued to mock Jesus Christ. They built their courage on the crowd. And do you know what happens, folks, when people do that? You actually bear the name of a bird. And I don't know whether you know the bird that these people would be named after. But there is a bird that actually copies the calls of every other bird, and it will give that direct call back in a mocking manner. And what is it called? It is called the mocking bird, because that's what it does. That's why it's got its name, because it mocks. It continues. So these two thieves were mocking birds, because they got their courage from the people who were condemning Jesus Christ. What did he do wrong? He did nothing wrong, folks. He did that which was right. But then one of the mocking birds stopped. He realized that he was wrong. He was convicted in his heart before it was too late. Before it was too late. Speaking to a brother from Sydney a number of months ago, and he mentioned that he had been praying for one of his friends for 20 years, okay? And he gave up. He said, Reverend Stone, I gave up. He said, I was sick of his nonsense. I gave up. He said, but you know what happened, Reverend Stone? He said, 3 days later, that person rang me and he said, mentioned his name. And he said, I want to thank you for praying for me all these years, because on Sunday he gave up praying. Concerted, conscious effort to give up. Wednesday a phone call came through from this Roman Catholic friend. I want to thank you for your prayers. I came to the Lord on Wednesday. He gave up! Folks, don't give up in praying. Keep praying. Because here was this thief who was a mockingbird to start off with, drew his courage from the crowd, because what the mockingbird does, draws that courage and gives it back, and they were giving it to Jesus Christ. Then something marvelous happened. There was a transformation in the life of one, and one of them was convicted. But the other who continued to reject Jesus Christ was right at the door of destiny. You see, when Jesus Christ was between the two, he gave both equal opportunity of salvation. One went to hell. Once a person draws his or her last breath, folks, it's all determined. It is predetermined as to where a person will spend eternity. So the first point was the mocking and betrayal of the Saviour. And the second point is the conversion on the cross. And I pray that there may be, that even folks here today who may be outside of the kingdom of God today will contemplate their position before God. And so here we see both men, both thieves were on the cross. Both had done wrong. Then one realized that, hey, what we have done wrong, this man did not do wrong. So all of a sudden, God is the one who gave him the courage, the faith, to stand against the crowd and to stand against his friend who he was hanging with, and to look to Jesus Christ. So what does he do? So this person who was not on the wrong side of God, of Jesus Christ, but on the right side of Jesus Christ, rebuked his friend. He chastened the other thief for his insults against Jesus Christ. That's what he did. Then he asked him to remember him when he comes into the kingdom. And so he rebuked his friend. The request was to Jesus Christ. And then his reward, when Jesus Christ said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And this is the last few hours of this man's life. The last few. Well, I'd just like to mention to you what Matthew Henry did say about the malefactor. And he said, this malefactor, when just ready to fall into the hands of Satan, was snatched as a brand out of the burning and made a monument of divine mercy and grace. And Satan was left to roar as a lion disappointed of his prey. This gives no encouragement to any to put off their repentance to their deathbed, or to hope that then they shall find mercy. For though it is certain that true repentance is never too late, it is as certain that the late repentance is seldom true. So it's just a caution. It's just a caution. The Matthew Henry says, just be careful of the late repentance. I have, by the grace of God, had the privilege of being with folk as they have drawn their last breath to go to be with the Lord. And it is a most blessed thing, folks. A most blessed thing. Knowing that the angels are there to escort the soul's spirit to be with the Lord. It is a blessing. Well, here, Jesus Christ does forgive. And the Gospel of Luke is actually speaking about the forgiveness of the Saviour. How Jesus Christ does forgive. And so this person, this thief who called unto the Lord, called unto Jesus Christ, would within a few hours be in heaven. His soul's spirit would be with the Lord. And this is a place of spectacular beauty. It is a place of mansions, a place of a wonderful throne. It is a place of splendor. It is a place of brilliant light, of great beauty, of wisdom, and of power. And that is the wisdom which the world does not have. It is the wisdom which is required, folks, is that which is a spiritual wisdom, not a worldly wisdom. The Word of God mentions this. It is not a natural thing, but praise God for those who do have the wisdom. And so here we have on the cross that transformation of righteousness, the imputation of righteousness upon one person, and the imputation of that person's sin going on to Jesus Christ. So much happened in front of all those who were spectators, who were mocking, who were there to revile. May the Lord strengthen us. May we understand that salvation comes from the Lord. Yesterday, I had a lift back to FEBC and then on to the place of accommodation where I was staying. And when I mentioned I was going to Gilstead Road, the taxi driver, and he may be with us today, asked why I was going there. And I said, "I'm going to pick up some books." And he said, "Where from?" And I said, "From bookshop." He said, "There's no bookshop there." And I said, "Yes, there is." And he said, "What do you get?" He said, "You get Bibles." I said, "Yes." He said, "What Bible?" And I said, "King James." And he leant across to his left passenger seat and he picked up a Bible and he handed it to me. And I opened it up and it was King James. I said, "How come that?" And he came to the Lord a number of years ago. And he knew of the church some 40 years ago. And so I asked him if he was still fellowshipping with God, walking with God. And he said, "Struggling, love." He's forgive me if you're here. his an adopted sibling did that to him which was wrong, and he lost a huge amount of money. Now, he lost just 500,000 more than what I lost, so I could relate to him, and mine was into seven figures. Why did I lose that which I lost? I lost because my father had problems with me coming to study in Asia. And I went through an enormous persecution, which very few people realized. But you know what? I praise God that I did. And I praise God that all of my lecturers were Asians. I give thanks to God. We got dragged through the legal system. It had nothing to do with honesty. It had to do with technicalities of the law. And I said to my father after he dragged us through and we lost everything, and this is some 7 years ago, just around the time the church was starting here, we lost everything. I said to him, if anybody ever asks you to receive Queen's Honours, because in the community he was a man who was eligible for Queen's Honours, I said, you have to reject because you're disqualified, because you lied on oath and you manipulated the truth. Well, he didn't receive Queen's Honours, and I praise God for that. But he was saying to my father-in-law that they were really dissatisfied that I came across, and the abuse that I had, that we went through, the prejudice that was towards me. But I continued on. We lost everything, but we still continue on. And so I said to the taxi driver yesterday, you continue on, love. You look to the Lord. You trust God. He is the one who will see you through. Don't rely on your own strength. And so the persecution was great. Remember, I came out of Freemasonry. My father stayed there. 10 years ago, so after the time we went back from here, I reached out to my parents, and both appeared to make a commitment. But the persecution continued right up until Christmas Day last year, when just several days before, my father was taken to Perth in the Flying Doctor, and I spent as much time there as possible, time outside of when the other family members were there, because we're in Perth and they weren't. I said, when you can go, you go, when you can't go, you let me know and I'll fill in. And so I just sat there at the end of his bed, just continued to work, getting some maybe 4, some maybe 5 hours sleep, and then heading back there again, and had the opportunities just to share. And on Christmas morning, my oldest brother was there, and my father said to him, GJ, because he calls him GJ, he said, what I did to Errol Dale was wrong. It was horribly wrong. And he cried and he cried. Deathbed. Christmas morning. Bryce, my son, saw the SMS and went straight down. Prior to that, he said, Mum, if Gramps passes away, I won't be going to the funeral. Christmas morning, my father apologized for what he had done to me. He realized he was wrong. That's the Friday. On the Sunday, early hours of the morning, Rob and myself went there. We got there, and my oldest brother said, my three brothers were there, and the brother who did the deceiving of us when we lost everything, he just went to my father when they thought originally it was his deathbed, and asked him for our property. My father said yes. And so things developed from there. Reverend Stephen Koo mentioned at the family fellowship on Friday night that you want to see problems, you look at wills and these types of things, and that's when problems will come about. And they do, because of the greed of people. And my oldest brother said, Donnie, because he called my father Donnie, Errol Dale and Robbie are here. Says my three brothers, my wife and myself. And my father said, Errol Dale, you're there. And I said, yes, Dad. And in front of the others, he said, Errol Dale is a good man. Now, I know that the Bible says no man is good, but I was understanding what he was saying. My brother, who did the deceiving of us and caused us to lose everything, went straight up and said, thank you so much for everything you've done for me. You've been a wonderful father, this, that, and the other. As soon as he stopped, my father again said, "Errol Dale is a good man." Everything was silent, but my eldest brother, who has walked alongside, defended me all the way, knowing what was the truth, said, "Errol Dale is a good man." Then my father said, final words, "Errol Dale, are you there?" I said, "Yes, Dad," because he didn't open his eyes. He just sat there with a loud voice looking forward. He said, "Errol Dale, thank you for guiding me down the right pathway." And then he said, "That is all." And he never ever spoke again. He didn't say, "Tell Mum I love her." He acknowledged what he had done to me for 20 years. 20 years of persecution just last Christmas ceased, folks, because I came to Asia. But do you know what? I had persecution in Asia as well. And when I got reported to the authorities, what was the charge? Racism. And I'm thinking, oh, folks, if you could only understand where I went to Bible college, and I have lectured at the Aboriginal Bible College for 8 years. Folks, if you could only understand. But the attacks will be upon the ministers of God. So I praise God that his last words were, "Thank you for guiding me down the right pathway." All we can do is trust. Matthew Henry says, be careful of deathbed conversions. But then for those who were this in Perth, they saw our sister-in-law 1.5 weeks before she drew her last breath. She confessed to Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Saviour. And how we give thanks for the fact that she will be in heaven. We transformed our house into a hospital and had her there for the last 2-3 weeks of her life. And the youth group continued to come and to minister, and it was a blessing. But folks, here we see the conversion on the cross. Why? Because of a belief in Jesus Christ. Because to start off with, there were two people who were proud, and all of a sudden, and then they had done worse than what Jesus Christ did. And all of a sudden, one realized, hey, what we are going through is correct. But not Jesus Christ. And so he rebuked his friend. Folks, it's never too late. Never give up. Continue to press on. Remember the friend that rang and he said 20 years he'd been praying for the salvation of a Roman Catholic friend. And on Sunday he consciously gave up praying. On the Wednesday, this person rang and said, "Thank you for your prayers. I came to the Lord on Wednesday. Came to the Lord today." How we give thanks to God for his goodness. Salvation is of the Lord. What a blessing it is. Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews. And Jesus said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Let us pray. Lord, our loving and heavenly Father, we give thanks for thy goodness to us, and we give thanks, Lord, for all of our loved ones who are with thee. And we do pray, Lord, that for those of our loved ones who are outside of thy kingdom, that they may come to know thee as personal Lord and Saviour, that their trust may be in thee. And I pray that we reach out whilst we have the opportunities, and pray, Lord, that we may understand that the Gospel of Luke is mentioning about the love, the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. For we know that there were even the last words that he did say, and even in the Gospel of Luke, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise, and Father, into thy hands." We give thanks for the goodness of God, and I pray that we reach out whilst we have the opportunities, for it is never too late. I pray that we never give up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.